This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Trials in life can come unexpectedly and in all sizes, and they definitely don't play fair. The book of James, however, tells us how to respond in times of suffering. In today's program, we begin a new series called Pressure Points, telling us how trials can also produce endurance and wholeness by God's grace and power. So please join us and allow this short but powerful book to encourage your faith.
Life is filled with many pressures. Today we're going to take a look at what the book of James says about handling the pressure of trials. Stay with us. Let's pray. Merciful Lord, we come to you this day ready to receive your life-giving word. In your mercy, we ask that you would fill our thirsty souls to overflowing as we study Scripture together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and salvation. Amen. For the next few weeks, I'm going to be doing a series called Pressure Points. Life is filled with various pressure points, and we're going to use the book of James to address some of those pressure points. We begin chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Dear friends, a lot of people live under a lot of pressure. How do you live with pressures in your life? Well, James in the New Testament has written some instructions for handling the various pressures in one's life, how we handle them as Christians. And we're going to take a look at what he has to say for the next few weeks to us on pressures. And today the pressure he's talking about is the pressure of personal trials. Let's face it, some days life can be very challenging and frustrating, a real trial. You know, some of the people that I think face daily trials that I truly appreciate for the work they do are elementary school teachers. I heard a story about a teacher who was helping one of her kindergarten students put on his snow boots. He'd asked for help, and she could see why. Even with her pulling and him pushing, the little boots didn't want to go on. Well, by the time they got the second boot on, she'd worked up a sweat. She almost cried when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. She managed to keep her cool, though, as together they worked to get the boots back on, this time on their right feet. Then he announced, "These aren't my boots." She bit her tongue, and rather than get right in his face and scream, "Why didn't you say so?" she once again struggled to help him pull the boots off his feet. No sooner had they gotten the boots off when he said, "Yeah, they're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear 'em." Now she didn't know if she should laugh or cry. But she mustered up what grace and courage she had and wrestled the boots back on his feet again. Helping him then into his winter coat, she asked, "Now, where are your mittens?" He said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." Funny, but personal trials can bring overwhelming pressure on us, can't they? And they're not so funny. When some people hear about Christians facing trials, they say, trials? I thought that being a Christian changed all that. The truth of the matter is, Jesus never promised us a trial-free life when we followed him. In fact, he oftentimes told his disciples, if you follow me, you may have more trials than you ever thought you'd have. And remember, Jesus told those disciples as well, which in this world you will have tribulation, troubles, trials. We are not exempted as followers of Jesus Christ. We're sheltered from the trials of life. And James reminds us of that today. It's the first thing he tells us so that we're not caught off guard. He says, my beloved, whenever you face trials of any kind, notice, not if you face trials, or I hope you don't face trials, but whenever you face trials. Jesus had said that. The disciples had experienced it themselves, and these Christians that were being written to had also experienced some trials in their lives. Notice they were referred to as the scattered and not the sheltered of the dispersion. And he says, whenever you face trials, face means to encounter trials of various kinds, a wide variety of trials. For them, perhaps it was persecution for their faith. These were the early days of the church, and people didn't understand Christianity and oftentimes treated Christians as outsiders. It's almost like a cult, and it would cause trouble for them and eventually became rather violent. But it could be other trials as well, hard times of loss that we experience in our lives. Maybe it's joblessness or the grief of losing a loved one, or it's the loss of good health as we get caught up in facing health issues. Some of us face chronic health issues as we get older. Or perhaps it was relationships, problems in the family that were really a trial. Life can be tough, James seems to be telling us. So what do you do when life gets tough? Well, James gives what might be considered startling instructions in his letter. Listen to this. He says, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. You've got to be kidding, you might be wondering. I don't know about you, but I, for one, do not enjoy going through trials. When something hard is happening or starting to happen, I do not go, whoopee, I can't wait, another trial. This sounds almost Pollyannish. The power of positive thinking, perhaps. For what reason should I consider this joy? Well, we have to ask the question, what's joy? Joy does not equal happiness. Joy is a deep contentment, a satisfaction knowing that you're in God's hands, that God is in control even when circumstances seem to be out of control. The key to joy is knowing God is in control. And James seems to be saying here, hard times then call for a demonstration of faith when he says, consider it joy. Someone once said to me, when hard times come, choose to be a student, not a victim. I like that. Believe that God can use this circumstance to teach you something in a tough situation. Believe that and trust that this circumstance can be used to bring glory to God in some wonderful way. You might wonder, what's the payoff? Give me one good reason for counting trials as joy. Well, James goes on to say, well, you know, trials can actually grow you. Here's how he says it. Because you know the testing of your faith produces endurance. What is endurance? In the New Testament, it's used in a variety of ways. It's perseverance, patience. I've heard it described as tenacity and stick-to-itiveness. James is not talking about a passive, resigned endurance, like I can't do anything about this, but an inner quality that enables a person to stand strong in the storms. You don't quit. Spiritual stamina gets developed through struggling against difficulties. Perhaps you can think of examples of how trying times, as much as you hated going through them and how you'd never want to do it again, made you all the stronger as you look back upon them. James goes on to say, "Let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing." Notice the word let. Let endurance have its full effect. He's talking about now in faith, surrender yourself. Yield, submit to what's going on and to God. Let endurance have its full effect. Don't fight it. Don't thrash about complaining or whining, but in faith, surrender yourself to it. Endurance leads to spiritual maturity, James says, and completeness, a wholeness in your character. You're lacking in nothing. In other words, it can make you a fully developed Christian personality, exhibiting the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and all of these other good things. You can grow in your faith with God and in God, and your relationship with God can grow. Warren Wiersbe, a wonderful preacher from the past who was the preacher at Moody Church in Chicago, tells the story of a person who worked for him as his office secretary, whose husband had had a stroke and then had gone blind, and she had gotten deathly sick herself. And one day he said to her, "I'm praying for you." And she said, "Dr. Wiersbe, thank you. What are you praying about for me?" He said, "I'm praying that you'll have strength." And she said, "I appreciate that. But," she said, "I also ask that you pray that I'll have the wisdom not to waste all of this. Not to waste all of this, but to be able to learn something from it and become all the more strong." I found a little story written by a woman named Nancy Kennedy. She writes, "I'm sitting in yet another hospital waiting room. Ever since my husband Barry first underwent open heart and quadruple bypass surgery 15 months ago, I've been in this waiting room, or one just like it, more times than I can count on one hand, waiting for him to come out of the operating room. In little more than a year's time, my vocabulary has increased to include words and phrases such as aneurysm, atrial fib, and EP study with ablation, and they all mean, basically, that I have to put on a cheery face, kiss Barry goodbye, and promise I won't worry about him or forget to eat lunch or lock the door at night while he's in the hospital. With all Barry's surgeries and procedures, we have had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad year, one of the worst in our 32 years of marriage together. Yet, ironically, it's also turned out to be the best. I learned just how deeply Barry loves me. As he was all prepped and waiting to go into surgery to repair his aortic aneurysm, Barry looked at my friend Tara, who was waiting with us, and said, "Make sure Nancy takes care of herself. Promise me, or else I'll worry." He wasn't worried about being sliced open again. He was worried about me. I came to faith in Christ 3 years after Barry and I married, and for almost 30 years I prayed about my husband's relationship with the Lord Jesus. Then the day of Barry's open-heart surgery, he told me if he died, I'd see him again, because he knew Jesus was his Savior. He prayed with me, he prayed with a friend, and he prayed with his surgeon. Barry hasn't stopped praying. He prays with me every day. What I asked God for all these years, to heal the spiritual rift in my marriage, to bring my husband and me closer, God had given. He'd performed heart surgery on us both, ripping us apart and knitting us back together again. Barry and I talk often about this past year and how it's been awful and awfully good. We wouldn't wish this kind of year on anyone and wouldn't want to go through it again, but we're glad it happened. We thank God for the good days and the bad, because in all our days, God held us both securely in his grip. We've known God's incredible kindness to us, and our hearts are in his hands. We've had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad year, and I praise God for it. Wow. Going through this sort of trial in life can also make us useful instruments for carrying on ministry for the cause of Christ. because our own experiences help us to minister to others who are having those kinds of experiences. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians about God who comes alongside and consoles us in our affliction so that we may be able to console those who are in affliction. Some of the best ministry I've seen happen or in my church are those members who have gone through terrible health issues coming alongside others who later on in life are going through those same issues and being there for them. Not only that, it makes us walking testimonies as we use these times to share our faith. As we say, through it all, I've learned to trust and learn dependence, and I've learned that God is faithful. God is faithful, just like Nancy and her husband Barry said. Well, then James adds one more thing to this. He says, by the way, when these trials come, remember you're not on your own. Here's how he says it. If you are lacking in wisdom, when the Bible talks about wisdom, it's talking about practical skills for daily living, so practical skills for dealing with trials. If you're lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it'll be given you. Did you catch the promise? You have a God that wants to help. He's available and he's generous. As human beings, you see, it's hard to keep our wits and our wisdom and act with any kind of wisdom when facing trials. It's easy for us to just fall apart or get tempted to get mad and fall away from God. And we need something beyond our own capabilities at this time to endure. And God's wisdom is offered to us. James says his wisdom helps us to understand how to use these circumstances for our good and God's glory. And it's only a prayer away. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask for it. Such wisdom is available to the one who will ask God for it repeatedly. And keep asking, trusting that God answers prayer. And the promise is that it'll be given. There's nothing in God that keeps him from giving. It's his practice, James says, to give generously. All we have to do is look at the cross and how he gave his son Jesus to die on that cross to save us from our sins. He gave Jesus generously, not grudgingly. Likewise, when we come to our Heavenly Father in prayer, he is ready to give generously, not grudgingly, as we ask for that wisdom. Yes, trials will come. Expect them. But you do have a choice in facing them. Choose your attitude. Count it all joy. And pray. Remember that you're not on your own. God is there. Call upon his name in faith, asking for the wisdom skills to handle this. And most importantly of all, remember, he loves you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we live with the various trials of daily living, it is good to know that you never desert us, and that you can actually use the trial to grow us in our relationship with you, and make us stronger to face future trials. Help us to be people who can keep joy, even in the midst of trial. And if there's anyone listening in today that is going through a hardship, we ask, Lord, that in your mercy you would come alongside that individual and minister to him or her with your wisdom and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped enable you to count it all joy when trials and suffering come your way. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of this ministry, so please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and your prayers. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. You may also find this week's message as well as past messages online on our website. Please be sure to check us online at ChristianCrusaders.org, where you'll find both an audio and printed copy of our message, as well as many other inspirational items. Well, you're happy you chose to worship with us today, and we pray that you'll join us again next week on this station. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 79th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.